knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
No, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
Mine's a little bit weird. My bright spot is my wife gone back to school.
Okay, this isn't that weird because you're starting by talking about your wife.
Sure, sure. She's gone back to school.
You're in high risk of becoming wife guy.
Absolutely. That guy. High risk. Going back to school. My bright spot is that I'm fairly certain she's going to get fired this year.
Oh, that is weird. Okay, never mind. I take it all back.
I'll give you one example. I'm going to show you a mural mm-hmm. that the principal had commissioned, and I'll give you one guess as to who it is of.
I'm not sure. I see scissors. I see Adam. What do we got?
It is of her.
Oh.
The principal had a mural.
That's why I couldn't guess that.
A mural painted of the principal herself in the library.
Well, why wouldn't you do that?
Oh, boy. And then I said something.
I thought it was somebody who had maybe made some nuclear
somebody
discovery.
Somebody who had accomplished something or done something.
Being a principal of a school is an accomplishment.
Sure, sure. And then then she said a lot of things involving... being the master of a bunch of children who are the teachers, and it's going to be a thing where it's like, this is not going to last for that much longer.
Here's the question that I want to ask you about this bright spot.
Yeah.
Are you trying to get your wife fired?
I think
by
we're both
expressing this bright spot.
I think we're both.
Would you like me to edit this out?
No, absolutely not. I asked her in advance. I was like, I'm telling you, this is what my bright spot is. I think at a certain point, it's like, man, I don't. You know, if you quit. You don't get anything. Maybe we get something out of getting fired.
Good luck.
Yeah, I don't know, but this is unsustainable. Mm-hmm. So I don't want her to be a teacher anymore. So this is my bright spot, is that it's the tunnel. Mm-hmm. There's light at the end of it.
Sure.
That's my bright spot. How about you?
I'm on a weird foot now.
Yeah, that does put you on the back foot. I understand. Yeah. That's on me.
I guess I've been watching a bit of Donahue. Not because he died, but
no.
I've been enjoying taking this trip back into like daytime TV from the 90s.
Yeah.
I think that there's something just that is uncapturable again. And maybe for the best. It may be for the best that we can't get that aesthetic and that whole vibe going with daytime TV that existed when we were younger. But man... It's strange to look back through the time.
Yeah. We've been talking about it a little bit, and there's definitely amount of like, you know, you're never going to get Fugazi in that basement again.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it was for when it was, and it was perfect. You know.
Yeah.
And that's just where it has to live. You can never get it back.
Mm. You go back and you watch, and there's commercials for McDonald's 59-cent hamburgers.
Oh,
what? In this economy. Anyway, we got an episode to go over, Jordan.
Okay.
Today we're going to do a little mini, I think, probably.
All right.
It's going to be a little short.
Okay.
But what I wanted to do was, we are here in Chicago.
True.
This is our city. We own Chicago.
That is true.
We will be nuked when Alex decides it's time.
Hopefully directly on top of us.
Yeah. I'm sure it will come down upon my building.
Yep.
But the DNC is happening in Chicago, and so... I want to be able to cover Alex's coverage of it, so we're going to do this here on covering his Sunday episode. So we're up to date, so for Friday we can talk about some of his coverage,
right,
of the goings-on. Obviously, it's huge, in that Alex's rhetoric requires us to believe that, first of all, there's going to be the biggest chaos that has ever been seen.
Sure.
Because there's all of these, like, Hezbollah sleeper cells that have been shuttled into the country. There's Antifa, all of this stuff. They're all very mad.
It's powder keg.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously that is an expectation that exists. But also, like, Michelle Obama is supposed to step up and, like, take the candidacy,
right,
or Hillary or something. So there's a lot of things that need to happen for Alex's content to be satisfying. And I don't know if they're going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and not least of which, let's just put it this way. If I was ever going to nuke Chicago, I can think of no time that would have more impact than now.
Probably.
So,
I think that that's, you know, I think that the issue is, without any of this, Alex's rhetoric kind of is disappointing.
Yeah.
You know, we've built up to this, and if it's just a number of speeches and then Tim Walz and Kamala Harris are the nominees coming out of it, I feel like Alex should, he's got to move goalposts a lot, is what I'm saying.
What if they don't even raise the bridges?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, not barring just the DNC going great, what if the protests are just totally fine and they don't even raise the bridges?
I feel like there's almost no possibility that everything will be totally fine,
well,
knowing the police here. But,
yeah.
But that being said, the expectation and the legacy of DNCs in Chicago,
yep,
you know, like, there is a shadow that looms large over this that I think may not reach the fears and the expectations.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are discounting just how important dogs and fire hoses were back in the day towards causing a lot of problems at protests.
Mm-hmm.
And there just aren't as many fire hoses being thrown at people these days.
So we obviously are recording this before a lot happens.
Sure.
So we don't know. If something, you know, if there is, if Michelle Obama does end up storming the stage.
Hey, I'll accept if I'm wrong.
Right. If she comes down like Sting from the rafters.
Yep, that is, hey, man. In fact, if she did that, I think that would make me more likely to vote for her.
Does she need to have a baseball bat with her, though, like Sting?
That's a good question.
So, you know, obviously we don't know everything that's going to happen. But as it stands right now, I think that this is underwhelming based on how Alex has built it up.
Yeah.
But we'll see how he sets things up on Sunday, the night before things get going, here today, as we discuss August 18th. That's it.
Ah.
But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Alex Jones's neighbor's well-marbled ass in a white wine sauce with shallots, mushrooms, and garlic. Yum, yum. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Oh, man, shallots are great.
Okay.
I can use them, yeah.
Especially, you know, get a little saute,
yeah,
going.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
So next, good luck on the bar exam, Wonk. Hope Law and Order stays around long enough to make this whole thing worth it. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Dr. Nick. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Hi, Dr. Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next, Tony the Hurricane Pizza from French Canada. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix,
ooh,
Jordan. So thank you so much to Dr. Jones, Dr. Jones, calling Dr. Jones, Dr. Jones, Dr. Jones, Big Naturals, Big Naturals. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So here is where we start off,
okay,
on Sunday. Alex is he's thinking about Michael Moore.
Okay.
It's Sunday, August 18th, 2024. I'm about to play you a clip of what Michael Moore said about Trump, but he still works against him.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Donald Trump came to the Detroit Economic Club and stood there in front of the Ford Motor executives and said, if you close these factories as you're planning to do in Detroit and build them in Mexico, I'm going to put a 35% tariff on those cars when you send them back and nobody's going to buy them. It was an amazing thing to see. No politician, Republican or Democrat, had ever said anything like that to these executives. And it was music to the ears of people in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania.
So this is a really good indication of how Alex's show is basically just the right-wing social media meme recap show. This clip of Michael Moore was making the rounds, but it's not new. It's been posted around on social media a number of times, but it traces back to Moore's one-man show from 2016 called Michael Moore in Trump Land. This clip is selectively edited, of course, to remove the context of what he's saying.
Naturally.
In the part that's played, Moore is expressing what the allure of Trump is and how he represents a big middle finger that people want to give to the man. If you watch the rest of what he's saying, Moore goes on to explain that Trump is never going to do the things he says that you like, that you want to happen, and you're going to be disappointed once the feeling of throwing up that middle finger wears off. So this is just, like, I don't know, 8-year-old clip with swelling music behind it being presented dishonestly? Great.
What, do you think that will be? Do you think that'll be a show like America's Funniest Home Videos, like America's recap of right-wing memes?
It is already.
Well, I mean, sure, but I mean, how far can it go? Are we talking WTTW? Where is it going to end?
I imagine there'll be like a supercut of Chase and Harrison getting like basketballs thrown at their nuts. That's like, coming next.
Like some sort of version of premium blend that's just right-wing memes.
I can see it.
Oh, God.
So Tim Walz is the vice presidential candidate for the Democratic side.
Sure.
And we've seen some attempts to characterize him on Alex's part. Mm-hmm. Here is where we're going next.
Okay.
This is a very, very serious time to be alive. And I am, again, particularly prepared for Sunday night broadcast here. We've got so much powerful news and information to cover. I knew that Tim Walz was an admitted socialist and communist and had the military, the State Guard and National Guard stand down in the Summer of Rage. And I knew that he did dozens and dozens, over 25 trips to China and basically lived there. I knew he was stolen valor, and I knew he was for castrating little boys. But now all the documents and news articles have come out from the time. The man was recruited by the communist Chinese and is a communist Chinese agent. Of course, look at Hunter Biden, look at Joe Biden, look at half the Democrat Party in the Congress. But he is a CHICOM actual agent.
Oh, wow. The documents have come out that he's an actual agent of the Chinese government.
They are getting really good if they've gotten somebody already up to the vice presidential candidate stage.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Tim Walz taught English in China in the late 80s, and has been to the country many times, at least some of those instances taking his U.S. students on field trips. Sort of a cultural exchange kind of thing.
Yeah.
There isn't anything wrong with this, but it's enough of a kernel for Alex to turn into this elaborate fantasy narrative, which is what he's doing. This is the new angle. And Walz, he's such a friend of the Chinese government that he's publicly expressed opposition to their expansion in the South China Sea, and he met with the Dalai Lama while he was seated in Congress. He is somebody who's been, somewhat critical of the Chinese government in the past.
I always had that dream of teaching English. Mm-hmm. You know, like
I had some friends who did.
Yeah, 1920, thinking, man, this is going to be the way that it's going to go, and I could never figure out how to make it work. But my best friend managed to get that gig in Japan, and now he lives there, married a Japanese woman, citizen, has a kid. Does the whole thing. So I have to assume that Tim Walz is secretly living in China with a different wife, a different kid, doing the whole thing.
And has secretly known you his whole life?
Secretly known me his whole life, yeah.
These are some shoddy assumptions.
It's a bad start.
So I had a couple of friends who also did the teaching English.
Yep.
Varying degrees of it going well.
I've heard very different stories from very different places. Yeah.
One of my friends ended up having the assignment fall apart when he got there.
That's no good.
So he flew over and then had real chaos and then had to come back.
Ooh.
It was a big mess. But then another friend of mine had a very similar experience to your friend.
Yeah.
Like ended up living there permanently. And I think he was in Japan too.
Yeah.
Maybe we know the same guy.
he's everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's Tim Walz.
Tim Walz. Classic Chinese agent.
We have Tim Walz, even more information on stolen valor, pushing to castrate children, take them away from their parents, little girls as well, sterilize them. But now the fact that he has the total signature and MO, 100% a communist Chinese spy, and then you have his rhetoric and his actions. He's a globalist, and he fits in with hell, half the Democrats in Congress admitted communist Chinese spies. This is just insane. But new videos have come out. This is very damning. In news articles, he was interviewed when he was in college and then when he got out of college, leading large groups of Americans to be compromised in communist China. And he basically admits that he's been on their payroll. They financially helped him.
Basically.
He is a communist Chinese spy. He was recruited out of a Confucian center in college. And, of course, I told you about this decades ago. It broke big the last 6 years. And Trump banned the Confucian centers at more than 100 major universities. And we've gone and actually infiltrated them here at UT in Austin. And, I mean, it is open, mouth say tongue, take over America.
Okay. So Alex is making up a whole lot of this.
Yeah. I don't recall Tim Walz leading the Cultural Revolution, but maybe I missed that.
Might as well have.
I mean, I studied it for a little while, and I thought I had kind of a little bit of a grasp on just the basic details. But if Tim Walz was there, I think I have to restart from the scratch. Yeah.
I think that you may need to brush up
on your
history
a little
bit. I fucked
up.
He was a central figure. I would imagine Alex has no idea where the fuck he even went to college or if there was a Confucian center there.
Yep.
Any of this. You just make it up crazy shit that has the basest little bit of a true story in it. He taught English in China in the late 80s.
Yeah.
And then has been back multiple times, sometimes with student groups.
Right.
That is not leading people over there to be compromised.
To be compromised.
I think that's a big jump that Alex is taking.
Yeah. I think a lot of teachers would be surprised to discover that every field trip they have ever taken to anywhere was in direct service of compromising those children.
Yeah.
And their identities are now owned by varying countries all around the world.
Yep. Back when I was younger, I went on a mission trip. To like repair houses.
Compromised
in New Orleans.
Ooh,
That was a trap.
Ooh,
I guess.
Now you like gumbo. It's all over.
Delicious.
For you. Yep.
Anyway, Walz and his wife.
Yeah,
they are basically just trying to. They're going to destroy society.
Sure.
On behalf of China.
I think we've got Walz's wife saying when they were burning down the city, she loved it and opened the window so she could smell the burning tires and thought it was wonderful. But then he was in charge as the governor and ordered a stand down. I mean, this is just incredible. And we have his students saying, look, he told us that Mao was great. He supported killing people at Tiananmen Square.
Wow, that's quite a claim.
That's a big one.
So his wife didn't say that. And Walz was actually the one who called in the National Guard, not the person doing some kind of a stand down. Alex's narrative on this is confusing because he's also been trying to paint Walz as a tyrant using the National Guard to terrorize the public in 2020. So this talking point is a little bit muddled.
It is difficult.
He can't figure out which he wants.
Yeah, he doesn't. This is weak tea. This is all weak tea. Nobody he doesn't actually have a handhold.
Nope.
And he's trying to throw everything out there. But there's just really.
And it's comical and it's extremeness.
No, and I mean, yeah, and even then, like, she's opening the window, smelling the burning tire. Yeah, that's fucking Mad Max cool. That is cool shit. You are not smearing her as, like, an awful person.
We talked about that on a past episode, and like, the real and fake version of that are tough to deal with.
Yeah.
It's no good.
No.
But what about the idea that he supported killing people in Tiananmen Square?
I don't know in 100% honesty, I don't know if anyone outside of the Politburo supported killing people at Tiananmen Square.
He is the head of the Politburo.
Okay, never mind.
This is what you need to understand.
Never mind. I take it all back.
So Walz actually spoke at the House of Representatives 2014 session memorializing the 25th anniversary of Tiananmen Square.
Right.
He said, quote, I'm very cognizant there's an entire generation of Americans who don't understand what happened there. They don't understand what the impact of it was. I think many of them, once they knew, would stand proudly with those fighters of human rights. I think for all of us, if we do not commemorate and we do not remember those who are willing to risk it all, it puts us all at risk of history forgetting the lessons that were there. He went on to say, quote, The lesson to me, though, was when you watch these things happen, you can just justify and make up in your mind any reason possible that you didn't stand up or that something didn't happen and that no one remembered. I think it's critically important globally that we mark this in the right tone. We listen to the experts who were there before and after, the witnesses who were there, and then understand what the implications of this are, because I think many of us, as you know, for many people, it would just be convenient to just pretend it didn't happen, just pretend we moved on, just pretend for all involved. But that's not what we can do. That's not what the memory of those people that stood there deserve.
Yeah.
So he's not in favor of killing people at Tiananmen Square. Yeah. This is fucking stupid shit that Alex is putting forth. But it's, you got to do something.
Yeah, I mean, that is a really good point. I remember people like asking about that photo, you know, the most famous photo, maybe.
The one of Jordan dunking on a tank?
That was the one. And they're like, so then what happened? Like, they didn't know. They were like, oh, so the tank stopped. Mm. My friends? No. Mm. No. But that's the interesting idea from the image, is people, like, writing the next steps in their own head, where the tanks are like, oh, I apologize.
Right. The power of a human to stop a tank is what you want to take away from it.
Yeah. That is not what you should.
But Walls, I mean, like, as somebody who has lived in China and has a connection to the people of China, I think he has a more thoughtful position on this than Alex. And this cartoonish version that he's trying to paint is just dumb.
Yeah, it's not the way to go. Mm-mm. It's not the way to go. Like, he was a coach at a high school, right?
Assistant coach, maybe.
Oh God, man. I mean, I guess I've, like, remembering my days in like high school sports and baseball and football and stuff like that, maybe you could catch him saying not nice things to kids. That's probably as good as you're gonna get.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, coaches are often a little mean.
I got a lot of, I mean, there were a lot of words that were allowed to be thrown around back in those days that the coaches that I had did not seem to have qualms about. So it's possible that that's there, but I'm not even saying that's there.
Well, here's what you didn't know about your coaches.
What?
I all work for China.
Oh, God damn it. Mm-hmm. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. So there's other attacks on the Harris campaign that Alex is trying to get to stick.
Sure.
Kamala's new campaign slogan, strength through joy, is word for word the official Nazi party slogan. Before he became the leader in 33, then it was Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer. Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer.
Little
one
different.
One people, one land, one leader. Before that, it was strength through joy. Now they're talking about strength through joy. I mean, the Twilight Zone-ness of this, and Biden giving weird speeches at night, with buildings lit up red with soldiers behind him. I mean, this is not good stuff.
Strength or joy isn't a Harris campaign slogan. She's talked about joy a bit in speeches and stuff, but this is just something that the right-wing groups have claimed as her slogan because it attaches to Nazi roots.
That makes sense.
This wasn't a Nazi slogan. It was a department within the German Nazi government, which subsidized improvements to leisure centers. It tried to boost tourism through things like resorts. The idea was to project the middle-class image of leisure more broadly, which would then become accessible across class lines. And that was something that was very useful for propaganda with the Nazi government.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, it's not a Harris slogan, but if Alex wants to play this game, America First was the American fascist slogan chanted by Nazi sympathizers in World War II. Yeah. Drain the Swamp is a direct reference to Mussolini. He should be asking more questions about this stuff if he cares.
It is not good when you start looking into slogans, because usually you're going to find somebody somewhere used it, and they were bad.
Especially if it's a good slogan.
Yeah, because a good slogan doesn't have a party. Mm-hmm. A good slogan is just something people like to say to each other. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be good or bad to be like, strength through joy. That's fine.
Yeah, America First makes sense,
I guess,
as a slogan, and that's why some shitheads used it in the past.
Yeah, the most important part of the slogan is the brevity, mm-hmm. not the content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Alex wants to, I want to listen to a little Tucker clip.
Oh, no.
The crew does not find it.
Oh.
And Alex is really chill about it.
Okay.
Let's just play this short little clip here, and then I'm going to reset and go to the bottom of the rabbit hole, why the system is doing this, to understand why they're so ruthless, why they're so corrupt, why they're so evil. But here's that clip from Tucker. there. Stop right there. It's no big deal. That's the wrong clip. I had told you guys I wanted SP1, and that's my fault. And then I kind of changed gears, and I kind of gave you a foreshadowing that I wanted to play this clip. So let's take a few minutes. Overhead shot. I'll show you the clip. Tucker retweeted this last night, and so I thought it was important to play this. You see this right here? And this is a 1 minute, 3 second clip, and it is on the list, or I know I sent it to you. So we'll take some time, and we'll find that clip. Or if we don't have it, we will get it. And we'll just relax here. This is a good Sunday night. It's an enjoyable Sunday night. I reposted this on X, and I'd sent it, so I saw it in my stack. I figured we had this. But look, great, take your time, enjoy. Because here's the deal. I'm going to just relax here on the show these days. We're in such a serious time. I give the crew so many hundreds of things. They do a great job trying to organize it all. And we're going to play this clip.
That seems angrier to me than when he storms off the show.
Yeah.
That seems like such a coiled spring that's about to fucking lose it.
Yeah.
I would be so terrified of him if he's like, hey, we're having a relaxing Sunday. It's all good.
That type of boss that like, yes, I know. I told you to do this thing, and you did it. And you did it well. But what you should have done
is
intuit what it was that I was kind of implying I might have wanted. And maybe if you had done that, I wouldn't have wanted it, and I would be yelling at you for not playing the right clip. So guess what? You're always wrong.
And it's just a relaxing Sunday.
Yeah, it's just a relaxing Sunday.
Having a good time here.
Yeah. We're going to have a good time. Just go ahead. I'm going to just hate you forever.
Tucker posted this last night, so I think it's important that we follow his lead.
Oh,
we have to post this thing because Tucker is setting the agenda for us.
Is Tucker still doing the Twitter show?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Oh.
I haven't watched in a while.
Well, I don't need it.
What was the last one I watched?
Was it the cat turd?
Maybe. No, because I think that the guy who claimed to have sex with Obama was after cat turd.
Oh, also,
I'm not sure.
I said cat turd, and I swear to God, I had a brief moment of like, is anything real? Like, I said the word cat turd out loud and then decided that I wasn't sure if anything had ever been real.
Maybe we should check back in with Tucker. I think after he went and talked to Putin, everything is kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, I think that kind of... You go, guy who had sex with Obama can't turn
right.
Putin. And I think that at that point you have to take a bow.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, I guess, literally resurrect Chairman Mao for your next interview.
Or Tim Walz, just as good. So this next clip, I think, is quite revealing for some of Alex's views.
And again, they're using the non-white populations worldwide to teach them communism. But because... whether you're in India or whether you're in Latin America or whether you're, you know, people don't tend to buy into communism. They know it doesn't work. It works for the globalists, but not for the general public. So instead, they found the 60s, 70s, and 80s, the Communist Party did here in America, this is on record, that they couldn't get black people particularly to become communist very, very often. But if they made it racially based instead of class envy to accept communism, if they tied communist policies to racial issues, they could get a better percentage, still not a majority, of black folks to sign on. And then separately, they can use white guilt and bullying whites through the corporate media. If they don't get on board with globalist policies, communist policies, totalitarian policies, then they get lectured and told how bad and how evil they are. And so that's how this works.
That's how it works.
I think that whole word salad was the slogan of the JBS.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that was because they weren't good on brevity.
But that's not word salad, really. Mm. Alex is concisely making the point that he wants to make.
Sure.
It's just that what it is reflective of the intellectual tradition that he comes from, where it's not so much that communists have tricked racial groups into supporting communism. It's that
you've been tricked.
Every racial issue is secretly a communist issue.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the approach and the way that you have people opposing civil rights. You have people opposing voting rights because you're telling them what you're doing is opposing communism.
Yeah.
And that's the way you trick yourself into thinking that you're not being racist when you're opposed to integration.
Yeah,
something like that.
A human being would be like, wait. Water fountains have to be different? But before you get there, somebody's like, communists! And you're like, okay, fine, water fountains have to be different.
This is a communist plot, and if we don't fight this battle here, we're going to be fighting it when they try to take your land away.
Exactly.
Your private property is.
So, yeah, you're human. I agree. We shouldn't have different water fountains. But obviously, we have to have different water fountains, and you agree with that.
That's just the way it is.
Oh, my God.
To change it,
is
our
any
communism.
Of this real?
Right. So that's, I really think that clip is very helpful to hear somebody say in 2024.
Yeah, that is really, it really is nuts. Because you, what was the book, that Revilo book that you had? Well, yeah, there's any number of them. But that the chapter you pulled out, I remember you opening the page and I was like, I don't even want to look at that.
Yeah.
Christ.
Yeah, a lot of those guys who are the intellectual cornerstones of some of this shit that Alex is into, they were a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
And Alex is trying to play the same game in the present.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks.
Gross.
So I was like, hey, it's the night before the DNC gets kicked off.
Sure.
We're not talking a whole lot about the DNC.
Weird.
It should be the biggest thing because, like, the devil is more or less going to be revealed here. Michelle Obama is going to lay waste to the party and claim her place for Obama's fourth term.
What would that look like in reality? Like, what does that look like in a practical, logistical sense?
A lot of confused people.
Right?
Yeah. A lot of people are like, what?
Wait, what?
So I was shocked that there was very little talk about this.
Okay.
But then we get a little.
We've got more on the DNC coming up. They've got mobile abortion and vasectomy trucks. I'm not kidding. There's video of it. But first, I want to get into Tim Walz and his clear evidence that he's a communist Chinese agent, not just on their payroll. This guy's a spy. You think about Swallowswell and Feinstein and all of them. I mean, it's what was on the laptop where Hunter's like, I work for the head of Chinese intelligence and he's disappeared and I don't know what to do. I mean, this is not a joking matter, ladies and gentlemen. This is not like, oh, we're calling them communists because that hurts them. No, they are totalitarians using communist tactics.
I like how Alex has to try and reassure himself that we're not just throwing around these accusations in vain. And the fact that he throws around this, like, very extreme shit, like, so liberally, he has to try and, like, self-soothe himself to be like, "This, I'm not minimizing the seriousness of my attacks by throwing them everywhere. No, this is serious.
No.
This is real. He's a Chinese spy.
I'm a serious person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, sure, he's been the governor of one of our states for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
So if he were a Chinese agent, it feels like he would have already done enough damage or some damage.
Perfect
or
cover.
Noticeable damage,
mm-hmm.
at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even really know that he was the governor until now.
The CCP had a very strong interest in who won state. In football.
Yeah.
And so he was in deep cover.
That would be,
for many years.
That would explain why I was all conference, but I didn't make all state. So that actually makes a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah.
It was the Chinese government holding you back.
Oh, God, that makes so much sense.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think there's something really funny, though, about just the, like, I'm serious this time kind of dynamic.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing? You're even less serious now.
Yeah. You can keep saying it, though.
Mm.
So Alex plays a bit of Michael Savage of the Savage Nation, because I'll explain on the other side of this. There's a weird narrative that's afoot.
Okay.
They're really mad at Kamala Harris supporting anti-price gouging legislation.
That's great.
Yeah.
And so inexplicable.
They're struggling with that.
Okay.
This is Michael Savage on the Friday afternoon edition of the Savage Nation. Today I'm going to talk with you about the Stalinist regime that is waiting in the wings to destroy America and imprison the population. Now, you may say that's a little histrionic and it can't happen here. And I would say,
Stop him again. I mean, one more comment. I'm going to go ahead and play 5 minutes of this, but I'm going to repost this on X, opposed to like last night. I'm going to repost this at the top of my Real Alex Jones so you can watch it and listen, because this guy's super smart. And you heard Trump. He says she wants to destroy it on purpose. So he did go there, but he didn't elaborate. Savage in this 15 minutes explains it, and he's a historian. He's done the research probably more than I have, and I'm getting chills right now. Ladies and gentlemen, there's Democrats all over the place saying they're going to put us in camps. They built COVID camps as the cover. Raskin says they're going to have a civil war. Do you understand they're planning this? They're going to do a big-ass cyber attack and take us all off the air. We got 78 days left of the election, and then 79 to that. And I feel sick just sitting here waiting for it to happen. There needs to be absolute total urgency. Heard Naomi Wolf, former top Democrat strategist, saying they got foreign troops from China, martial law, arrest everybody, totally take over. And she's
I think you're overreacting a little bit.
Smart. Her husband's been an intelligence operative in the military. He's the one telling her all this.
Uh-oh. So this is ironic, because before Trump twisted all these little idiots' minds, Alex routinely accused Savage of promoting rounding up Bush's political enemies and putting them in FEMA camps. It's almost like these extreme accusations he makes have no connection to reality. Weird. Maybe it's just his inner monologue.
Could be.
A large part of this episode is Alex opposing proposed anti-price gouging legislation, saying any kind of price fixing is communism. This is a classic no-lose situation if you're Alex, because he doesn't actually really care about the issue. He just cares about using it to attack the government. When there's price gouging, corporations make a ton of money by screwing people over, and Alex can get on the soapbox and demand the government do something about it so these greedy corporations can't exploit the population. When there's an attempt by the government to do something that would prevent price gouging, he gets to yell about how any attempt to solve the issue is an evil, tyrannical plot, in effect working to make sure that the problem of price gouging is never actually addressed. You might notice that no matter what, if things go the way Alex wants, his actions and rhetoric serve the interests of big business. And that is not a coincidence. Also, Naomi Wolf's husband should probably be arrested if what Alex is saying is true. He's disseminating confidential information to his wife, who's then telling Alex Jones, which doesn't seem cool.
Yeah, I don't know if that's allowed.
No.
I feel like it's not, but boy, I don't know anymore.
And Alex is real cool about like protecting his sources and stuff like that. Yeah. You can really see it in moments like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to tell you who my source is and then exactly why her husband shouldn't be allowed to do this.
Cool, man.
Yeah. I like it.
So a large part of the show is really trying to thread the needle of this legislation is communism. And it's not... there's no traction to it. It's not interesting.
Nah, price gouging is price gouging. Everybody's fine with not doing that.
Except for weird nonsense.
You have to twist your own brain so into such strange dimensions in order to get to like, yeah, corporations should absolutely steal from you. Stealing is fine.
It's their right to, and the market will correct for this. Companies that steal from you will not succeed because people won't like them or whatever. I mean, it's not a coincidence that like Fred Koch was one of the founding members of the John Birch Society, and that all their recruiting was from the National Association of Manufacturers.
So weird.
This is part of that still lingers with him.
Yeah.
So we've got Tim Walz, Chinese spy.
Sure.
That's one thing that's clearly Alex is pushing pretty hard.
That should be his title. Tim Walz, Chinese spy.
When he speaks at the DNC, probably will. They'll just come out with it.
Yeah, let's just be open.
So that's one thing that's going on. But there's another thing, and that is monkeypox.
And they're so arrogant. Like, for those of us that are awake, we know monkeypox is a fraud. We know this stuff's all a scam. We predicted it would come. It happened right on time. I got big news on that coming up at Recover Waltz. But to still a large portion of the public, they believe whatever they're told. They go out and get 10 booster shots till they die. And they're just rolling it out. I mean, I've been telling you for years, right before the next general election, they're going to launch monkeypox and bird flu. And they've done both. And it's not even hard to predict it. They got all their war games that they put out 2 years ago predicting for the election they would do this. Dr. David Martin's done a great job breaking it down. And then Reuters counters saying no evidence that the 2021 Nuclear Threat Initiative exercise proves monkeypox outbreak was planned. They do all these fake newscasts and war games at the UN global level predicting exactly what's happening now, just like the SPARS plan, just like Event 201, just like Operation Lockstep. I want to show people overhead shot, please.
Okay, so this is from a 2021 exercise titled Strengthening Global Systems to Prevent and Respond to High Consequence Biological Threats. In the exercise scenario, a terrorist group steals a strain of monkeypox from a lab and uses it to attack a neighboring country that they have long-standing hostilities with. This spreads to the world and ultimately kills 270 million people.
Fuck me!
The idea of the scenario is to look at this kind of horrible but possible event and see where there are failures in preparation. I think that this genre of planning exercise is, like, it's really interesting. And in my experience, the lessons derived from them are not often fully implemented as maybe they should be. But I'm so bored of how Alex uses this shit.
Yeah.
It's just so exploitative and boring.
Yeah.
It's low effort conspiracy.
I mean, it's just, it's tabletop gaming is hard to be intimidated by now. I imagine like the idea of people like role-playing this kind of scenario is a lot scarier to a generation that's not fully 100% like playing Baldur's Gate 3 right now.
Maybe, but I think even if you understand what it is, if you just understand what the source material that's being used is, it should take away some of the mystique.
Yeah.
It's like asking yourself what you'll need when you get somewhere before you go. It's preparation. Okay. I'll need a snack. Oh, okay. I didn't think of that.
So let's war games this trip we're taking. Right. It's going to be a long walk. Should we wear shoes? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, Alex says no. Alex says no shoes.
Don't plan.
Shoes are for communists.
Don't think about it. Because if you do, then you're just trying to hurt my foot.
Yeah.
So this same group, the Nuclear Threat Initiative, did a tabletop exercise the next year about a possible outbreak of the Akhmeta virus. In 2019, they did one about the pneumonic plague breaking out in a country with weak centralized government and terrorist instability. These aren't expressions of the plans that globalists have. It's a way that experts and people in leadership roles can expand their awareness of how to respond to an emergency situation before an emergency happens. Once it's started, it's too late. You cannot plan once the emergency has happened. And guess what? You don't plan, you're going to learn some of the same lessons that you would in a tabletop exercise, except the consequences will be much worse.
Yeah.
Because you're learning on the fly.
I mean, it's... Listen, I don't like... It's trite, but we played the board game Pandemic quite a few times in 2018 and 2019. Mm. Suddenly stopped. Mm. Never played again. Weird. Nope. Weird how that happened.
So the WHO has announced that monkeypox, or mpox, is now a global health emergency.
Okay.
That did happen recently, and that means that it's spreading, but that doesn't mean that everyone has to panic. This declaration was made in 2022, and people responded with appropriate caution, and so it didn't become a pandemic on the level of COVID. Regardless of how things progress from here, the situation isn't really comparable, because monkeypox isn't a new condition, and doctors are well-versed in how to deal with it. COVID was a novel condition, which compounded the threat that it posed as a global pandemic. Awareness of the situation and exercising caution is the appropriate thing to do for this almost everywhere that Alex could possibly be broadcasting to, and not panicking about it or thinking that it's fake or some sort of a global control scheme.
Yeah.
So it's nonsense.
I get the color coding, you know, that method of like, oh, we're at an orange threat level or whatever it is, as long as it, you know, I have any idea of what your color's actual threat means.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, and when you call it a global health emergency, I get why people can panic. It sounds... Emergency is a dangerous word, you know, but it's but what are they supposed to call it? Like, bad thing, responsible people are responsibly responding, mm-hmm. you know, like how do you correctly or like non-panic point out that there is a thing, but responsible people do exist and they are taking the appropriate measures, you know?
Yeah.
It's so hard because we've gone for a few years without that experience.
But honestly, I think that global health emergency, public health emergency is the right way to go about it.
Right.
But just understanding what that means is be aware of the situation and manage your risk appropriately.
Right.
You know, like, it's not like flashing red lights going off.
No. It's like the responsible thing to do is just to not have a person being like, emergency means they're killing you.
Right. The responsible thing is not what Alex is doing.
No, it's to be like, hey, it's an emergency. People are handling it. Just like how the emergency room, you don't have to worry that it's going to spill over into your house.
Right. Yeah. And the emergency room would be incredibly ineffective if everyone was running around in it. Like all the doctors were freaking out.
Boxes everywhere!
They did a tabletop exercise called medical school prior to this, where they learned about. Anyway,
that's very good.
Harrison Walls.
Yeah.
They probably put a gun to Biden's head.
That sounds true.
And made him step
Harrison
down.
Walls dead. Yep, yep.
We started hearing weeks ago when she became her VP pick. Remember, neither he nor she got one vote in the primary. We know Biden stole the election, but you can still have some shred of debate on that.
No, you can't.
But he's supposedly the president. Well, they just remove him. He has a medical emergency. He's gone for 7-8 days. Shows up all drugged out. Basically admits the Democrats removed him. I mean, did they put a gun to his head? It'll be your brains or a signature on this piece of paper? Like the Godfather? Give him an offer he can't refuse. And they just tried to kill Trump, what, 37 days ago? I mean, do you see where we are? But there's a normalcy bias to everybody. I think we're in normal times. No, we're not in Kansas.
We definitely aren't. The globalists tried to shoot Trump, which is an unfounded statement that Alex is making.
We're in Pennsylvania.
By virtue of that, they probably put a gun to Biden's head and made him an offer you can't refuse, which is a great Walls impression.
Yeah, that is pretty good. That is pretty good. Once you have this guy stole the election, you can't then be like, but nobody else got votes. It doesn't matter.
A bizarre level of splitting.
They stole it. She could have gotten all the votes. It doesn't matter. I don't know. I don't even know what your point is. It's just that guy stole it.
If this is like, okay, we have an essentially stolen election.
Yeah.
It does not. She could do that too if you want it.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't.
We could just do this again.
What are we doing?
There's no difference.
She doesn't need votes. She can steal it, and you'll be fine with it because he stole it. So she's just stealing it from him. Your problem is the stealing, not the, like, she didn't get enough votes.
Yeah, it reveals that your problem is an illusion,
unfortunately.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this mm-hmm. Tim Walls is a Chinese spy thing, and Alex keeps insisting that he's going to get to some, like, real meat.
Sure.
And this is just nothing.
Okay.
This is so, oh, God, it's just frustratingly thin.
So he goes to college in the 80s, and he gets his degree. And he joins the Confucian Society, which is admitted communist Chinese government run. They've now been outlawed in the U.S. Going back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, the middle of Trump's term. Admitted, run by the Chinese government. And then he goes and basically lives there. We got a clip of him saying that. First it was 18 trips, then 23 trips, then 36 trips. And now it's like, well, he lived there. And he's probably a double agent because he'd be given extended leave and stuff to go, stay there for 3-4 months. I mean, weirdness, folks, but he's clearly working for them. So now these newspaper articles come out because a week ago, the students were going public, doing interviews, being interviewed by newspapers, saying, look, he promoted Mao. He said Tiananmen Square was good. They killed those people. He is a hardcore Maoist. He has a collection of Mao memorabilia. He gives everybody little red books and says you should follow them. I mean, this is
empty red books, though.
Even to the communist Chinese, they've rejected most of Mao. Xi Jinping's gone back to some of it. But just in, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, again, supports a guy that killed over 80 million of his own people. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who the Democrat presidential candidate Kamala Harris' running mate, had a friend in China's Foreign Affairs Department. Because it's not just the students saying it now. They found the news articles. We got a whole bunch of them. And the Chinese government, their State Department, used him as an agent to run a whole bunch of trips into China through the Confucian Center. So that right there, you're a communist Chinese agent. Then he talks about all the wonderful gifts the Chinese communists gave him and how wonderful it was, and told his students and told the groups he led, you're going to get a lot of free stuff. So much stuff you, quote, can't even carry it all home.
So that whole gifts thing there that Alex is talking about is from an Alliance Times Herald article from September 13th, 1990. And it's all about how his students gave him gifts like a hand fan. That article literally ends saying, quote, Walz feels the Chinese have been mistreated and cheated by their government for years. If they had proper leadership, there's no limits on what they could accomplish, he stated. They're such kind people. They just gave and gave and gave to me. Going there was one of the best things I have ever done. So it seems like he was talking about loving the people while at the same time voicing clear opposition to the government. So this doesn't feel like it fits with Alex's picture, but, I mean, who cares, honestly? He taught in China, so fuck it, he's a spy.
Yeah, yeah. I would be interested to have, like, a, like, straight up, now, okay, what does a hardcore Maoist look like in 2024? You have to, like, give me attributes, actual beliefs that somebody who is a hardcore Maoist...
Folksy. Midwestern.
Sure.
I don't know. Who cares? This doesn't mean anything.
I mean, if any hardcore Maoist could like somehow project this level of Midwesternness, they've got it made. Mm-hmm. You know, like that is a perfect spy.
You'd probably high five his wife.
He's so goddamn Midwestern.
You know what? Here's the other thing.
What?
If he is a Chinese spy who's under deep cover, you would think he would be like, hey, honey, don't say you like burning tires.
Integrate better, I guess. Yeah.
Don't act so suspicious.
Keep your head down.
Right. You'd think, but oh well. Yeah,
maybe.
I guess you could just, I mean, it's just whatever. Who cares?
Who cares?
This is, it's
too absurd to be an attack.
But it's interesting to see the way that Alex is trying to find the thing that'll stick. You know, you have the stolen valor, you have the various sort of cultural grievance complaints that he has, and now going real hard on the Chinese spy thing. And I think it'll be as effective as anything else, which is not very.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through all the attacks that have stuck in the past. They're like cycling through them like a Rolodex, like not this one, not this one, not this one. It doesn't seem like they've got it in their, because really, like, the attacks they could have are attacks on themselves. You know, like anything that you'd be like, oh, he's an out of touch old white guy, and then it's like, well, shit.
His policies are actually a little bit towards the middle.
Fuck. People are projecting a false image. Oh, fuck.
Ah.
Damn it. I mean, he's just another politician. Shit!
So we have one last clip here, and Alex plays a little clip of Walz. Actually, two clips.
Ooh.
They're supposed to demonstrate his spyishness. I just think this isn't going to work.
So let's go ahead and play these two newest clips of him talking about living in China.
Now, I happen to be and understand a little about China and lived in China and speak Chinese. I'm pretty friendly with China.
Status quo will say, set someone who's been in Congress, set someone who's been in elected office for 25 years, or set someone who's your neighbor, who's been teaching your kids and been serving in the guard unit and has been fostering cooperation amongst people in China and the United States on their own, understanding that these are the things that tie us together.
Totally sick, ladies and gentlemen.
Nailed it.
So he is a communist Chinese agent, 100%. And if you're a loyal, good American who doesn't commit crime and works hard, you're the enemy.
I just feel like even Alex's heart's not in it that much.
Yeah.
Coming out of that clip, he could tell that he felt like he was forcing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking proved he's a Chinese spy.
I mean, yeah, because it's kind of like Alex's entire ethos should be like, hey, governments are bad, people are great.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who's like, Chinese government, bad, Chinese people, great. That's the same thing Alex has always said about the American government versus the American people.
Right, but the picture that Alex is painting selectively edits out the parts where Walz has been critical of the Chinese government. So you can pretend that when he says stuff like, I'm friendly
right.
with China. You can pretend that he's not saying that about people.
Right.
He's saying that about the government.
Right, right.
And that's how you get across these images, these false images. And I think this, I don't know. It's a push.
It's weak.
He's pushing pretty hard.
Yeah.
But I think
it's either you have to go lower or higher. Your whatever energy they're at right now is in the middle, and it can't. This is absurd, but it's like it's absurd in the way that it used to be, where you're like, oh, John Kerry, he's like, we've done that before. So now you got to escalate. You got to give me something more. Not only is he a Chinese agent, he is an alien. But and I'm not talking about not from here. I mean, he is not from this planet.
But that's what Alex tries to do. He says that everybody's working for the devil. That doesn't work either.
That's just... But
there isn't escalation from here.
But if you go low, again, you're just indicting yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's... Yeah.
I think that there is a difficulty that Alex finds himself in. And I can't sort of untangle this from the fact that this is the night before the DNC starts. This is supposed to be this big moment when there's a conflagration of some sort, whether it's assassinations or whether it's Michelle Obama taking over the party. There's something that's supposed to be happening, and that time has come, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a letdown for Alex. And the only thing you can do is like, Walls went to China. And it feels just a dud. It feels like a dud.
I told you this not too long ago, but I'd spent probably the last 2 years working on a book, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to throw it all away. Because essentially, I had written myself into a corner. Mm-hmm. And like all that work, no matter how much I tried to mold it into something, it was never going to be what it should be or what it needed to be, right? So I just had to scrap it. I couldn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Alex is. He's just got to scrap this. Like, there's no way to mold it into where you need it to go.
Yeah.
Got to start from scratch.
He does need to discharge a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think he can.
No.
And that trap is very interesting to see a person be in.
Yeah. It is a luxury to not have to tell people you've been working on something for 2 years and then you threw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when that thing that you're working on is supposed to be the truth about reality.
Yeah, exactly.
And how God told you this stuff and you're fighting the devil.
Yeah, can't really. You'd have to straight up.
That's tough.
You have to go to jail, basically, to do a reinvention on that level, right? You have to
I don't even know if that works.
No, you're right. Well, I mean, it's like the Wolf of Wall Street guy couldn't just go straight to and now I'm a Christian, so everything's fine. He had to do some time. Mm-hmm. And then after he did time, then you can do the Christian reawakening.
I don't know if it's like you have to go to jail, but you do have to disappear.
A version of that.
Yeah. You need to, you can't be, there's a wrestler, let's say, and their character is not working. It just kind of sucks.
Yeah.
People aren't enjoying it. There's no crowd reaction. That guy's got to go away and come back with a new character. That time away is essential. And that's what Alex needs to do. He needs to go away, come back.
Here's what
yelling
you do.
About the Fed and...
You Jesus it. 40 days, 40 nights, my man.
Mm.
Disappear 40 days, 40 nights. Let people know I'm in the desert having a vision quest. Boom. Come back. You got a new idea.
How fucked up would it be, too, if it was right before the election? Because this is this period of time where Alex, you'd think he'd be there on the ball.
Yep.
If he just mysteriously disappears, Chase Geyser takes over his show.
You bet.
There's something there.
The meteoric return
mm-hmm.
would be people would even have countdowns and shit. Once they figured out, oh, he's doing the Jesus. We've got 10 more days. People would it would get buzz.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the best thing for him to do. But
yeah. Can't do it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back.
We gotta stop giving people great ideas.
It's all from wrestling, too, basically. Their world is so pro wrestling shit. So why not use some of the other tropes?
I mean, you've already got Hulk Hogan at your conference. Yeah. Might as well lean in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see if they do that. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.